sound effect producer Kevin Kniestad started snooping around a little bit, and he soon found out that this club, Shelley's Leg, was owned in the 70s by this very interesting woman named Shelley Bauman. And Kevin tracked down a guy who knew her. His name is Bruce Bowles. He was a radio DJ in the 70s and a good friend of Shelley's. And Bruce explained a little bit about the kind of person that Shelley Bauman was.
She could be a little bit mean. She could be a little edgy and opinionated. And she carried with that the force of her circumstances. Because she had been injured and was, you know, disabled, and because she had a bunch of money. That was a big thing about Shelley. She got a large settlement from, I guess, the city for this accident and was spending it. She had red hair. She smoked cigarettes. I think she may have even used a cigarette holder sometimes. She drank. She had a big black Lincoln Continental. She had a pet tarantula, which was sort of in keeping with her mystique. And she had a big black Doberman pincer named Lucifer, which just by his appearance could be a little bit frightening. And that was done very deliberately as well. She usually had guns around. She'd have a pistol by her bed.
How did Shelley Bauman get injured?
There had been a Bastille Day celebration that included a cannon that had a wad of paper in there. As I understand it, the paper was meant to be dry, but somehow it had been wet. Somebody had poured water on it. So it made a much more dense projectile. And this cannon went off. I think it was deliberately, but I'm not sure exactly the circumstances. But the cannon went off and it hit her.
And this wad, it's
this wad, this cannon wad of wet paper hit her, you know, at full force in the gut and just pretty well destroyed her lower abdomen. And she was in the hospital for a long time. And she listened to KOL FM. And she would call, and one of the fellow DJs at KOL was a guy named Marty Seaver. She struck up a conversation, or a friendship, I should say, with Marty. And they got to be friends, and he would go visit her, and then she got out of the hospital, and it turned into a romance, and they ended up living together. And Marty and I were friends. So through him, I got to know Shelley.
Can you describe what sort of injuries she suffered?
She was hit in the lower abdomen, so she had a lot of reconstructive surgery. She had a leg amputated. I believe it was her left leg. So she had the mobility issue. She was in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. There was no walkers or anything of the kind. She was always in a wheelchair.
Shelley Bauman decided with her settlement that she was going to build a nightclub. Can you describe that nightclub?
Well, it was cleverly described as being at the foot of Maine, down at the corner there of Maine and Alaska Way. I remember it as being kind of tight, which actually worked in its favor as a disco because it would be crowded. And people love to be, you know, like at a party, everybody wants to go in the kitchen where you're all rubbing elbows and shoulders. And it was almost always packed. Had a raised platform for the DJ, so the DJ was fairly prominent.
And it was a gay bar.
Yeah. It was a gay bar, but it didn't, you know, as a straight guy, I didn't feel like I was in a place where I shouldn't be. I think what really characterized it, in addition to being a gay bar, that it was a disco. And that was early or maybe nearly approaching the height of the disco era. So the music and the dancing that you could do there. So if you were straight or gay and, you know, and Disco Inferno comes on, you want to get up and shake your butt. And that's what people did. So it was about, a lot of it was about the music and the dancing. So in this mind's eye, I can see being down at Shelley's Leg and Marty up playing records, and Marty had this kind of silver suit that he got specifically for the job. In fact, I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons she started Shelley's League was so that Marty could be a DJ. So I think she was aware that there were these clubs in New York or Chicago or L.A. where DJs were playing records live in front of people. And she said, I can do that for Marty and my gay friends and for me. And it all kind of came together. But I think that was one of her motivations.
Did she demand attention?
Yeah, I think she did. I think that's an interesting way of putting it, that she wanted it. She definitely thrived on the attention.
Was she looking for, did it matter if it was positive or negative attention, or was it just attention in general?
I think she was looking for love. She really was. From Marty, of course, and that relationship had issues, like most of them do, but given her personality, it was sort of inevitable that there would be friction. I think she was looking for love from her friends, and she was certainly looking for love from my daughter. At the time, my daughter from my first marriage, Phoebe was, 3-4 years old when Shelley kind of laid eyes on her, and Shelley just loved her. And Phoebe loved her back, and Phoebe spent quite a bit of time with her. One of the images that I have very strongly is of Phoebe riding in Shelley's wheelchair and sitting right on the seat where her leg wasn't. So there was this perfect little nesting spot for Phoebe to sit there, and Shelley just loved having Phoebe around. I also do remember that she used to sneak Phoebe into the bar. It was 21 only. It wasn't like it was a place where you could take your kids and have a hamburger over on one side of the room. Certainly Phoebe was not supposed to be in there, but Shelley had a back door and sort of delighted in sneaking in this child into her den of iniquity down in Pioneer Square. And so I can kind of envision Phoebe back, behind the bar having a Coke or something.
Was drinking a problem for her?
Yeah, it really became a problem. Yeah, she was an alcoholic. There was cocaine and marijuana around as well, and nicotine. She was a big smoker. Yeah.
Was she regularly in pain?
I think so, yeah. She was in and out of the hospital frequently, and infections were always a great threat to her because of the state of her overall health and her reconstructed abdomen. So I wouldn't be surprised if she was... But I don't know what kind of painkillers were around in those days.
Well, alcohol, cocaine, marijuana.
Well, yeah, those were around. We could see those. Mm-hmm. She self-medicated, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long would you say you knew her? You spent time with her? How, over the course of X amount of years? Or?
Well, that during that time of having her disco, that was what, early 70s, early to mid 70s. And then I wasn't really... there when the place burned. There had been an accident on the viaduct, some kind of truck accident that spilled fuel or something, and there was a geyser of flaming liquid coming off the freeway right down onto the club, and it closed and had to be repaired and reopened. But from then on, and then Shelley would, for years, I would talk to her occasionally on the phone. She would call me, and she was often drunk and would be sort of obnoxious. And I remember being kind of impatient with that.
And so did it just sort of, was there sort of a natural decline in the friendship then because of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was pretty lonely. I think she was definitely struggling with alcohol. She'd probably burned through all of her money. And... she was still disabled. Marty was long gone from her life. I don't know who she had been with, if anybody, in terms of a lover or, a mate. So I think she was lonely and sick and unhappy. So it probably didn't end well for her.
After the fire, she tried to, she redid it. She reopened, right? She fixed what damage had happened, and she reopened the bar, and there wasn't quite the success that it had prior to the fire. Do you have any knowledge as to why that might have been the case?
I just suspect that the sort of the disco fever had kind of moved on. One, you know, window of time when she opened up the bar and it opened, the disco scene was going, gay people were coming out of the closet, and there was a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. And I think that whether there'd been the fire or not, it may have, you know, peaked, just like entertainment things like that do. They don't last that long. And as we watch Seattle, you know, evolve and change so much, I think it's great to recall, you know, some of the pioneers in her way. She was a pioneer in Pioneer Square. So here's to you, Shelley.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.